The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize.'"
It's time for our Roots kids to be dismissed to their special time of worship. So if you are age 3 through 3rd grade, you can be escorted out to the children's wing as we sing this out. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let...
Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you here today. Thank you for your presence, and I do see several visitors, guests. And we're thankful for your presence especially. Last week, we began a 5-month-long series that we are calling God and the Neighborhood: Watermarks, Table Mates, and Cemetery Plots in the Gospel of John. We're endeavoring to listen to and mimic the one who became flesh and lived among us for a time, as Larry spoke about last Sunday. So much of Jesus' ministry was found in the context of neighborhoods and neighbors, the result from Jesus' very intentional mission that always played itself out right where he found himself. All of our texts through this John series have to do either with water or tables or life and death situations. Some have to do with two of those, some with all three. Sometimes it will be obvious, other times you will have to hunt a bit for the connection, which is half the fun. Our text today, I think, is pretty clear. As chapter 1 in John rolls forward, we come to a section comprised of 4 days. Day 1, a smattering of religious leaders interrogate John the Baptist about his identity and his baptizing activity. Day 2, Jesus' baptism and the winged Holy Spirit landing upon him. Day 3, Andrew meets Jesus for the first time, and then Andrew introduces his brother Peter to Jesus. Day 4, Philip starts following Jesus, and then Nathaniel, and off we go into Jesus' ministry. It's a 4-day stretch that catapults John's gospel forward, and with it all the hints of discipleship and purpose that Jesus will pronounce for the next 20 chapters. What we'd like to do here on the second week of this series is talk about the second day. This is what Maggie Bell so beautifully read just a moment ago. Thank you for doing that. John the Baptist, that same character we discussed several times during the Advent season, is back on the scene again. "Look," he says, pointing at Jesus, "the Lamb of God. That's the one who brings about forgiveness in the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.'" If that last sentence squishes up your brain a little bit, don't worry about it. "A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me." It does seem like John the Baptizer is playing a confusing game of hopscotch upon our minds when he says it, which is probably a bit unfair at 10:25 on a weekend morning. It appears to relate back to the very first verses in the gospel, which says this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." Timeline-wise, Jesus was always first, and John was always second, even though Jesus' physical birthday came after John's. John then is referring to significance, to the momentous consequence of God becoming flesh in Jesus, rather than talking about birth order. All that head spinning contributes to the wonderment John feels that he, of all people, got to baptize Jesus. If you are somewhat familiar with the other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, then you may be aware that our baptism text from John is a bit different from the baptism stories found in those other three. We don't get the fuller set of details here in John. Jesus doesn't speak at all like he does in Matthew. The Jordan River location is not mentioned. There is no, "This is my beloved son," like all the other three record. In fact, it is not told in story form at all. It's told in first person reflection. "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.'" John the Baptist's words serve as the official record of the baptismal event. He bears witness to what he has experienced. You've witnessed baptisms before, haven't you? I'm not talking about your own baptism. I'm talking about other people you've seen get dunked underneath the water or even sprinkled by a few drops on top of their head. You've seen baptisms in the baptistry directly behind me. Or you remember when your own child got baptized. Maybe you performed the baptism. Or that time when you were a guest at another congregation and there happened to be a baptism that day and you didn't know the person in the water nor the person doing the baptism, but you felt the kind of connection to it all that can only come as a result of the Holy Spirit alighting on your shoulders. In a few moments, I'm going to pass around the microphone to you, asking if you have a memorable baptism witnessing experience. So please be thinking about that. I want to tell you a few of my own first. As a minister, I've been fortunate to perform many baptisms, an honor I do not take for granted. Several stand out to me, including some from the teens that I was able to baptize when I worked as a youth minister here. One of my absolute favorites is King's baptism. And although he won't much care for me showing this picture or the attention it will bring him, I do it for two reasons. First, because the joy on his face nearly brings me to tears every time I look at it. Baptism is a joy. And the second, the embrace from his mother. "This is my son," she says. She represents right there the embrace of God upon all God's children. Mullen's baptism, which I have spoken about before, is another memorable one to me. We baptized him on a Wednesday night, and after I lifted him up out of the water, he went on to speak from the baptistry-turned pulpit about what God had done in his life, 20 minutes worth. So long that my fingers pruned and wrinkled up. And then there's this one. Our friend Mary Zellers, who was a part of this congregation for several years. Mary is deaf, and the only way she and I could communicate is through writing to each other with markers on a little dry erase board. When she wrote to me that she wanted to get baptized, I wrote back, "When?" "Next Sunday," she said, and we did. You, church, came up as close to the action as you always do, right up here on the stage behind me. Deborah Gibbs, who is so instrumental in Mary's life, came into the water with Mary and myself, and we baptized her. When she came back up out of the water, she could not hear the choruses we usually offer after baptisms, the loud amens and hallelujahs. So we raised our hands above our heads, which in sign language means applause and celebration. She, with her eyes, heard her chosenness, and we were all witnesses that day. I've got other stories away from here, like the time in college when my friend Leland got baptized in a swimming pool in a professor's backyard. The guy baptizing him took Leland to the 4 or 4.5 foot end, and even my 20-year-old self could foresee the tricky nature of what was about to happen. He was in too deep for proper baptismal procedure. Sure enough, when Leland was laid backwards into the water, he could not keep his feet on the bottom of the pool floor, and up his feet went, straight out in front of him, and there he was, hovering on the surface of the water like he was a dead man floating. I also think of Cortland, a former youth group member here 12 years ago that some of you may remember. At Camp Bandina, a summer camp that the youth used to go to, she wanted to get baptized and asked me to do it, and I did. And she was baptized in the river there early one morning before the sun had tipped over the horizon with just a dozen or so onlookers. My last witness to a baptism story, and then I'll invite a couple of you to speak, is one of my dad. My dad grew up in the church, but never chose baptism for himself. After he married my mom and had 3 kids, for some reason he decided to get baptized. I'm quite sure my mom had something to do with that decision in a good way, and his baptism is the gift that keeps on giving. My dad must have been right about the age that I am now, which would have put me around the age of 7 or 8. I remember it was a Wednesday night after Bible classes. I remember it was an empty auditorium except for my brother, my sister, and my mom. I remember that the auditorium was mostly dark and that the only lights came from above the baptistry, which was set up a bit like ours in this building. I remember my dad descending into the baptistry with the preacher. Quattlebaum was his name, because how can you forget a name like that? And that's all I remember. I don't actually recall my dad going under and coming back up soaking wet. I don't recall him hugging the preacher or my mom or us kids afterwards. I'm sure it all happened. I just can't picture that part of it. I don't think doves swooped down from the rafters, but who knows? I was a witness to my dad's baptism, just as he was to mine 8 or 9 years later. And when I get to consider all that now, that I got to witness my dad's baptism, my overwhelming and lingering response is gratitude. What about you? Where have you been a witness to someone else's baptism? Could be a child, a parent, a friend, a stranger. What did you see? What did you notice? What was that like for you? I'm looking for maybe 3 or 4 people to share, just 30 seconds, 45 seconds or so. I'm going to come around with a microphone on this side. And Ford, can I get your help on this side? Do you mind? I'm going to give you this green microphone and just pray it doesn't squeal on either of us, okay? If it does, we'll be just fine. So I'm going to just walk around with this side holding a microphone. Ford, if you want to come get this green one, I'd love for you to share a couple stories, please.
I also witnessed my dad's baptism. I walked down the aisle first, and Dad followed me, and we were baptized in the Smackover Creek in Smackover, Arkansas. And I'm wondering if there's anybody in here that was baptized before me. This is 1935. Is there anybody that was baptized before 1935? I'm the oldest one.
Good morning, everybody. I wanted to speak about the baptisms I've seen here. My personal baptism, I was baptized at 10 years old in one of our, in a neighboring tradition, we'll say. And it was in a big church and a youth minister that I did not know just because of my age. I got assigned to him and my family sat out in the thing, in the congregation. But my name was taped on my arm. And so, you know, the guy saw me. Yep, I came up. I was probably fourth in line on a Sunday night, and he said, church, we want to present to you Michael, who, and I was baptized and so forth. So it was not as personal, you know, and when I joined this church, one of the things that was most compelling besides the, single scene here was, how we treat it. Every baptism, everybody gets up and they go up front and Larry starts singing and there's a thing. And since I've been to different churches of Christ, you know, and seeing all kinds of things, and I still haven't seen that. And so every one of the baptisms that I've gotten to witness here in this room have made a huge impression on me, and it was something that put my own baptism, which over my youth, you know, and as I got older, had things that I raised questions for me because it was not as personal or because it was in such a large situation in my age and so forth. Seeing that, it gave me something more spiritual and tangible to kind of reach out to and say, was my experience in keeping with this? And I always felt that it was. So witnessing baptisms here has really helped me out with my own experience.
Good morning, everybody. I was baptized in 1997. I went through some things, you know, and my sister, Brenda, God bless her soul, she told me, she said, I'm going to get one of y'all. And then so I said, okay. And so I asked her one night, I said, Brenda, God want me to get baptized. And so when I went down and came up, I just felt a huge weight off of me. God said, I called you to be a prophet. He said, I called you into my fold. I was scared. You know, I was really, really scared. But once I got baptized, and my sister, she said, Jesse, she said, you're the one God chose. I said, what? You know, so I'm just blessed to be baptized. And you know what? Whoever get baptized is a great feeling, because God is calling you into his kingdom and you can do his work, and don't be scared, because God said, Jesse, you're going back to that old neighborhood and preach. I said, no, I'm not neither. But he said, yes, you are. He said, but it's on my timing. So I am so blessed that I found a church that accept people, and I was searching my heart. So God, you know, brought me to this church, and I am so blessed for Pastor Steve and everybody that's in here. So, you know, I thank God for getting me saved, for getting me baptized, and I thank my cousin, my aunt, and thank God for grandmothers and mothers, because they pray over their children. And I just want to say that. Thank you.
Bonnie and I have had the opportunity to see our son baptized here and our grandson baptized here, Xander, by his father. So I think he has begun a pattern that all of you parents have to look forward to. Will you have the courage to baptize your own children? I tell you, it's not an easy thing to do. A related story is that our daughter was on a church group journey when she was a teenager. Her church group went to Florida, and we got a call early one morning. When you have a teenage daughter that's on a trip and you get a call early in the morning that wakes you up, you wonder what in the world is going on. And she called to tell us that she was baptized in the Gulf of Mexico that morning.
I was just going to say real quickly, I see DeAndre over here, and I remember when DeAndre was baptized. In fact, I have a little reminder on my phone that tells me tomorrow, I think, is the anniversary of DeAndre's baptism. So happy birthday early, brother. Good to see you here.
Okay, one from Nelson, and then we'll do maybe one more story after this.
One time I was talking with a preacher from Skillman Avenue Church of Christ in Dallas area, and he said that, I did not witness this, but he said he had a very large lady come and want to be baptized, and they didn't have a baptistry. And so they went out to an old, it was a creek, but it was kind of large and very tricky and stepping. And so he baptized her, and he slipped, and she went sailing across the water. And he said, "I've lost her," but I'm sure that she was saved. But I was fortunate enough to. In my son-in-law's case, he was Lutheran, and so we studied together. And when I baptized him right here, it was a great event for me and for him. And now after 30 years in at NASA, he is. Now a deacon at the Southeast Church, and so that was a memorable occasion.
Good morning. My greatest memory of baptism was my mother. She came and she found love with everyone in this church, and she was so eager to baptize and change her name, and she enjoyed changing her name because she felt like a new person after she was baptized in this church. But God bless her soul, she didn't get to enjoy it for long. But she is with the Lord with a new name and a new person. Amen.
Good morning. Mine is my children and seeing them grow up in the church and all the people that have just helped them grow up and that are still helping them grow up and being able to be a witness to their baptism and knowing that they're okay here, that they're saved and God is watching over them and He's answered the prayers that I've said. And to have my dad be a witness and help do it as well. And to know that my mom is watching over and that she's played a big part in this as well.
Thanks for it. And thanks everybody for sharing wonderful stories. Just so that I am not unclear, I want to plainly state this. Our baptismal witness stories we've shared are not about us. They are not even about the ones being baptized. They are testimonies of what God by the Holy Spirit is up to, saving, redeeming, making all people and all things new. Through baptism and because of grace, those people are no longer beholden to the disruptive and destructive nature that sin causes in the world. That is God's doing. John's baptismal witness story is not about him either. He makes that perfectly clear to persons within hearing distance. I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God. John the Baptist points to Jesus the Christ. John's life work is to call attention to Jesus, to tell anyone who would listen that something new is happening, that a baptism of a holy and boundless Spirit is at hand. His task is to set the stage for the Christ who would usher in a new kind of kingdom based on mercy and love. John the Baptist is not the Messiah, he told people. He is not the coming one, and neither are we. We as a local church may be Christ's body, but we are not the Christ. That role is already taken care of, thanks be to God. Therefore, we can live and serve in complete freedom. We can invite our next door neighbors over for a Sunday lunch without fear. We can sit with our Spanish-speaking friends at Cafe Grace, even though we may not know a lick of Spanish. You can do your work as a music teacher or a charge nurse or a full-time student or an oil and gas specialist or as a retired person with the trust that God's Spirit is working in you and through you and maybe even despite you. Our job as a congregation in this neighborhood and wherever you find yourself is to become more like John the Baptist, testifying with our language and with our works, always pointing not to ourselves, but to the God who comes to save. If that's difficult for you these days, trying with great effort to find any redeeming action of God to pick out in a world that is blazing away in all sorts of infernos, I don't blame you. It is for me also. There's not enough water in all the oceans to put out all the fires we see. If that's you, then I encourage you not to point, but to spend some time listening as others point the way for you. The witnessing baptismal stories we've heard today can do that. Remember your own baptism too, or your children's, or your parents'. It may not seem like much, and that's okay. Listen to them anyway, and see if you cannot hear John's testimony. Look, see there, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Thanks be to God. And together we say, amen. Maybe today is the day we get to add to our church's reservoir of baptismal stories. If you would like to talk about baptism, to get baptized, I'm going to be standing right up here. You may come and talk to me about such things. In a few moments, we're also going to have a time of intercessory prayer with a couple of folks at the back. When we do that, you are welcome to go and pray with them and talk with them, celebrate with them, and they will pray over you. Right now, though, let's stand as we sing together, All Things Are Ready.
All things are ready. Come.